Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Balanced Birth and Beyond podcast. I'm Olivia, your host, and on this podcast, we will talk about everything related to the journey to conceive, pregnancy, labor, birth, postpartum, parenthood, and beyond. This is a safe space where birth professionals, birthing people, expectant parents, and partners can come on and share their knowledge or personal experiences with our listeners. The goal of this podcast is to create connections, share stories, information, and resources to educate and empower people in their own personal journey. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Healthy Balanced Birth and Beyond podcast. Today, I have a wonderful guest with us, Melissa. And Melissa and I connected via Instagram because she has an incredible foundation that she's created to help new moms. And I am always looking to connect with like-minded mamas or mamas and women who are doing things to help mothers in general. So women supporting women, providing mothers different types of support, and so they can feel empowered in their motherhood journey. So Melissa, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Would you mind sharing a bit about you?
Not at all. And thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. I love all the guests you have on, and totally agree with you. Finding like-minded mamas, which there's a lot out there, is such an amazing a part of this journey. And I think everybody needs to find that mom tribe and that support system around them. So that actually brings me to, you know, a little bit about the Flourish Fund. So my name is Melissa Boley. I'm the CEO and founder of the Flourish Fund. We started actually like right in the middle of COVID building this business. We had built out a community called Mom Unity. Some people may be familiar with it. It was really a provider wellness network. And then we shifted to providing a baby registry because we found that a lot of mothers weren't prioritizing their own well-being. It's kind of ironic because it's intertwined, right? And I've heard you talk about this a lot, like your health and well-being from the time you conceive to 1 year postpartum is your baby's health, and yes, it shapes their future health and wellness. So we've been really trying to prioritize the mother and the new family, but really it's about prioritizing the mother's health through this journey and getting her the support she needs from the time she's pregnant through birth and through 1 year postpartum. So we're thrilled. Now you can register for the first time for services in addition to the stuff. So we've developed these bundles, and the intent behind it is you get like an outcome. You get a healthy start to breastfeeding, which means you get the lactation counselor on call for you. You've got the Hakka pump. You've got the organic nipple butter. You get it all. And you don't have to think about it. You just get it. You get this nice package and all those whole villages there at your fingertips. So that's really the goal of the Flourish Fund.
Yeah. And honestly, I was so excited when I found you and the Flourish Fund because the mission behind it is so important. Like what you said, in general, mothers just need more support, and it starts during pregnancy. It starts, and also too in the immediate postpartum, making sure you do have that support, making sure some people don't have maternity leave. You know, there are so many layers and bits and pieces that go into it. And so we spend so much of our pregnancy planning for baby, planning for their outfits and their nursery and what books they're going to read and the toys, but we often don't think of ourselves and what we're going to need. Like even what you said, we're going to need nipple butter. We're going to need to be educated on breastfeeding if that's the route that we decide to go. And so these things that are so important are just put on the back burner because the focus goes to baby. And it's even apparent after baby is born, right? Baby is going to all of these well visits to check on them and see how they're doing and weighing them. And then there's like one visit for the moms, like 6 weeks later, just be like, hey, how are you doing? And that's pretty much it. So I am so thankful for you for creating this this foundation, this fund for mamas, so they have the support that they need.
Yeah, it's I think you bring up such a good point. And it's funny because I've seen it now. There's a mother who recently got the Mama on the Mend gift bundle. And the first thing she said was, I don't understand, what's this Perry bottle for? And she was due to deliver a week later. And that just goes to show you how little awareness or education is out there. And one of the things that we actually, our educational program, which I'll talk about later, which is all about bringing together the clinical community and the community providers, was recently accepted to ACNM.
Oh, wow.
The American College of Nurse Midwifery. So we're going to be doing a talk out there.
That's
But
amazing.
it's been so fascinating because we are doing all this research to understand what makes this virtual series that we've been doing so unique. And I was doing like PubMed searches nonstop, and all of it centers around childbirth. It's about birthing the child. Like if you read anything, it's all childbirth education, childbirth this, childbirth that. And I was like, the birth was very important. It sets you off on your path as a mother and as a parent, but it's the starting point. It's not the end point. And
Right.
it feels like the end point. I felt like when I gave birth, I felt like there was an analogy that I think the fourth trimester group made, which was, you're like a candy wrapper. So once they unwrap and the baby's there, the candy's there, everyone's so excited, mama just gets tossed aside. And I really felt that
Wow.
of my births. And I've been there twice, and both times I really struggled to find the right support in the postpartum period mostly.
Yeah. And I so agree. It's like, I mean, to sh going to show that A, there's not enough discussion about what comes along with childbirth with your client who did not know what a peribottle is or what to use it for, how to use it. I don't think personally, if I hadn't taken a birth and postpartum doula training, I would not have been prepared. There's no way. And I'm glad that I dove into everything birth related before I was even pregnant because I would have just gone into it blindly. And it's so wild because it's something that women have literally been doing since the beginning of time. And it's just not something that's openly discussed. And I think more and more people are opening up these conversations and talking about the importance of preparing for your birth, of preparing for your postpartum, of preparing for breastfeeding or dealing with a newborn or sleep deprivation. These things are so important. And I'm so glad that you are here talking about them, and you are not only here talking about it with me, but you are going to continue to do so in all of these other different platforms. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really important. So that's one of our biggest missions, is raising awareness on, what the challenges can be, not to scare people. I mean, that fear of childbirth is one of the biggest issues, and there's a lot of that in the medical world. But it's to inform and make people feel prepared so that when they enter a situation, that they have either a resource to tap into right at their fingertips. Or they've heard somebody tell a story and they're like, oh, I remember somebody facing this and I realized I needed to get help here. And really have, giving moms and families the confidence to go through this journey is really our goal. And I think for me, it's funny because I've listened to many of your podcasts. And one of the things that really changed my perception on all this was I ended up having some pelvic floor challenges, especially after my second. Well, first of all, nobody told me what a doula was. So I was, doing, I'm a biomedical engineer by training, and I was doing all this research. I love just clinical research. And I was pregnant, and at no point in time did anybody tell me, my OBGYN or anybody tell me what a doula was. And I couldn't believe it because of all the evidence that supports doula support and continuous support through labor. So that was frustrating to me. And a friend came to me, and she's like, have you considered a doula? And I was like, a do what?
Excuse me.
Do you mean? And this is 6 years ago. I know things are changing, but the percentages, it's still like only 7 to 10% of births are, supported by a doula. So that was eye-opening to me. I had a doula for both my births, and it really made all the difference in the world. And I was like, what about all these people? Like, I did the research and didn't come across it. What about all the people out there that just don't know? So number one, it was like, let's raise awareness. And then the second time around, I had pelvic floor challenges, and I went to my OBGYN, and he said, well, you've had two kids, what do you expect?
Oh man.
That was the response. And I
Oh.
was like, excuse me? And I just started researching everything about birth, postpartum, pelvic floor physical therapy. I'd actually done pelvic floor work in my previous life as an engineer developing products for the pelvic floor. So I knew the
Oh,
research,
okay.
but I was thinking of my own kids. I hadn't really thought about the impact it would have on me.
Right.
And so I just started talking to moms in my support groups. I started doing research on what the European countries do, other cultures, how do they support moms? How have they turned around their mortality rate? I just started digging in and I was like, oh my God, this is not the way we were intended. We weren't intended to be all, spread out. We need that village. You need those resources and it's covered by insurance in these other countries. Why isn't it covered by insurance here? So I was really frustrated. And originally with Mom Unity, I was like, oh, we're gonna change it. We're gonna get all these things covered by insurance. And ultimately I realized that's a long ways out. So I was like, let's start where we're at and let's change the conversation from you don't need a bunch of extruded plastic for your baby, but you do need support. So let's kind of start moving the conversation, shifting the spending that we do, our consumer spending, into support that will actually help us, confidently enter parenthood.
Yes. Oh my goodness. For everyone who's not on the Zoom call, I'm literally just sitting here nodding my head along to everything that Melissa is saying because it's so true. And even in you talking about the pelvic floor, there are so many people who have no idea what the pelvic floor is or the fact that you may need to work on it before your baby comes or after your baby comes or the fact that you can heal your pelvic floor and sometimes it will take more extensive work. But people just don't talk about these things. And even now, some people listening, they might not know. And so these are little tidbits, all the different layers that come along with being a mom that are so, so important and need to be talked about. And also, too, I remember I'm the same way when it comes to research. I look at all the different countries, I look at how people do all the different ways that people do things, then look at how we're doing them here, ways that we could improve, what we could do to improve. And it's incredibly frustrating to see what goes on in the United States in terms of the maternal mortality rate. And that's a whole nother conversation we could spend a lot of time talking about. But the birth space within the healthcare system in the United States is really has so much work to, so, so much work to do. And it's upsetting to realize this. It's upsetting to realize that doulas are not just something that's commonly talked about. And it's silly to me because doulas can offer so much to mothers. And they're, even when we're talking about the education surrounding birth, just preparing for your birth in any way is something that's going to benefit you. And so if you feel
There's
like,
evidence
right,
that is the case.
it's evidence-based research. And it's not discussed. And to me, I'm just like, that is, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And especially mothers need this. Mothers are doing everything. And I know they say you need a village. You do need a village. But a lot of the time, mothers have guilt about asking for help or they feel like they need to do it all. And believe me, I've been there. I'm still there all the time. And
Oh, yeah.
so, again, opening up these conversations, starting these conversations, and like you said, changing the things that we can change right now until we can get to that point where we are making changes here within the United States. And just supporting mothers in general, whether it's pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, and then even after that, because I don't really believe that you can define postpartum as like a 6 month period or a 6 week period, because I truly feel that postpartum is for the rest of your life after you have a child, until they're grown up at least. And I only have one. So it's just like I've learned so much. I'm still learning every single day. And I just think that what you're talking about, the information that you're sharing, especially because it's evidence-based research, is key for people to know and to understand and to realize.
And
And
that's one of the things that we like. You can come to the Flourish Fund and you know that everything on there is evidence-based. And that's one of the things that's really important to us. And then one of the changes that we made from Mom Unity to this platform was vetting the providers that are on there. So
okay.
again, you know that it's evidence-based. So there's doula, there's fitness, there's nutrition, there's sleep consultants, things that are actually shown to make an impact. And then you also have that vetting. So you know you're working with somebody who you can trust, that you can just, call up in the middle of the night when you
Yes.
need them. But I really, the doula piece is one of the things that my goal is that every single person gets a doula. It doesn't make sense to me why they don't. And I know my husband was hesitant with my first child. He was like, well, and I don't need anybody. He's a biomedical engineer too. And he's like, I know this stuff and I don't need anybody in the room. We got this together. This is meant to be intimate and just the two of us. So he was very anti it. And he came around because it was something that I really decided that I wanted. And afterwards, he's like, there is no way I could have been there to support you the way that I did if we didn't have Lauren, our amazing doula, there. He's like, she supported me just as much as she supported you. And they called us Team C. I was like leaning against him, and he was like talking me through the contractions. And she was, massaging my back. And I was able to have a natural delivery in the hospital. But,
Amazing.
which is funny, I keep pointing, but the hospital is literally right across the street. When I was in labor, I waddled across the parking lot and
Is so
labored
funny.
against telephone poles
Yeah.
and
I think you're right. I think there is kind of like a misconception about what the role of a doula it is. And one thing I always like to tell people is the role of a doula is never to replace the partner. That's not their role at all. The role of the doula is to support both you and your partner, to help you guys work together and provide you with that support that you need in order to feel comfortable. Or even at beforehand, if it's before you're in labor, providing you with the resources about things that you want to learn more about, whether it's comfort measures or medical interventions, whatever it is. It's not, the doula doesn't come in and just push the partner aside and say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to take over. You just stay there. And I've received the same feedback from, because the births that I've attended some my cousin's birth. So I've had like the client perspective and then also the family perspective. And one thing I think is important to remember is that A, if it's your first baby, you've never gone through this before, so you don't know what it's going to be like. And then also, your partner has never seen you go through this before, so sometimes it can go get overwhelming. Or they don't know what to do, or they don't know what to say, or how to best support you. And I remember talking to my cousin's husband, and he was just like, just having you there when she was really like freaking out about one little thing here or there. He was like, it just helped me because in that moment I didn't know what to do. And I just looked at you and you said, it's okay. This is something that happens. It's all going to be okay. And then we
Right.
moved on. And so it's even just little things like that, or you being there so they can run to the bathroom or go get some coffee or whatever it is, just the smallest little things. It's all about supporting mothers and supporting their partners and supporting the family as a whole. So I love that. I love hearing your own personal experience with that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so true. And I don't, you have to find the right doula for you. It is
Yes.
interesting because we did do a lot of research, and there was one doula for me. I was looking for evidence-based, right? So for me, I wanted somebody who had been to a lot of births, had seen a lot of different things. And the person, Lauren Amon, that I use down here in Rhode Island, she had participated in a clinical trial. And I was like, oh, that's right up my alley. Like, I love that, because she was part of the cord clamping clinical trial that was going
Okay.
on at Women and Infants.
Awesome.
So that was what I was looking for. There was another person that I interviewed who was like, oh, I've had zero C-sections. I'm like, well, in my mind, if I need a C-section, I don't want somebody who's going to be pushing me to the point where I need it medically and they're pushing me against it. So there's different, I love it. One of my favorite doulas always says every doula is a different flavor and you got to figure out which one's for you. But
True.
it's very true. So I think finding the right support for you and realizing that they are there to support both of you. To me, it was all those little decisions that it made. It wasn't like there was anything big where the doula had to come in and yell at the staff. Like, that's not what it was like. It was like these small decisions, like, should I take, they wanted me to take sleeping pills. Should I take sleeping pills? Should I go back home? I loved that I was able to labor at home for 80% of my birth because I felt confident someone was there with the signs of when I should actually go to the hospital. So I think it's those really small, nuanced things that they don't send you into like a stressed you or your partner into a stressed situation because you have somebody there who's like, I've seen this before. It's all part of the process.
Right. And I think just having someone there to support you through something that's new, or even if it's this second, third, fourth time around, just having someone, like you said, if you want to look at your partner and you want them to be able to talk to you and hold you or sway with you, and then the doula is behind you doing hip squeezes or shaking the tree or whatever it is, just having that is just, it makes the birth just completely different. It just does in a positive way. So I would love to hear a bit about your personal journey with motherhood, becoming a mother for the first time, then becoming a mother of two, because it's different for everybody. And I think it's important to talk about everything in general when it comes to motherhood. So whatever you feel comfortable sharing, I'd love to hear.
Yeah. So it feels like ages ago. We were talking about that before we popped onto the podcast. Yeah. My kids are 4 and 6 now, my two boys. And it just feels like it's going by so fast. I feel like I'm getting baby fever again. I see many of them. So, honestly, for me, it was really what I was sharing earlier, which was I felt very prepared. Besides the fact that I wasn't told about a doula, which I think, again, everybody needs to know that this is an option for them. Oh, I felt like I was very, very prepared for birth. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in good shape. Pregnancy bar class that I was taking. I felt like the hippo in Fantasia, like, with my big belly. And they were like, you're going to give birth here at the bar class. I went, you know, a week late. One thing I will say to moms, and I've been telling a lot of moms who are about to give birth, like, do not use the due date. Like, do not depend on a due date at all. It's just a guess. And if you're anticipating that that's the day it's going to go, you're going to be very disappointed in a lot of cases.
Oh my goodness. So important to talk about. I'm glad you just mentioned that.
So, cause I went a week late and I was every day, I have a picture every day, like today's the day for literally like 6 days. but yeah, so I think for that, experience, it was 36 hours or so of labor. It was a very long process. And it was, my doula had come to my, house and I was able to labor at home. The funny thing is I went to the hospital cause I keep looking at the hospital. I live literally right across the street from the hospital. So I walked over there at like 7 a.m. after 2 nights of pretty serious contractions. Mm-hmm. I walked over there at 7 a.m. and they're like, you're 5 centimeters. You should probably stay. I was like, well, I really don't want to. So I walked back home. And then I forget what happened. I think it was around noon. I had like some, you know, stuff, blood that I got concerned about. So I went back to the hospital with my doula and they're like, yeah, so you're still 5 centimeters. And I don't like, you should definitely stay. So they kept me under observation, but they were like, you need to make a choice now whether you're gonna be admitted. And I was like, yeah, no, I want to go back home. So I walked back home again. But at that point they had given me Ambien. And it was funny, so I had this whole debate, like, should I take the Ambien? Am I gonna be groggy for my delivery? But I had been up for 2 nights in a row, and
that's what I was gonna ask, if you had been awake the whole time or if you'd been able to rest.
No, I was awake the whole time. They were pretty serious contractions for both nights where I ended up downstairs, like leaning on the couch with the contractions. So I like fell asleep like.
Okay.
but yeah, so I ended up taking Ambien. It was so funny because I remember like I didn't sleep even with the Ambien. The contractions were so strong.
Oh my goodness.
My husband fell asleep next to me in bed and I just sat there like,
fuming.
And I'm like, did you take the Ambien or did I take the Ambien? So I ended up not actually being able to sleep. And then I went back and they're like, you're still at 5 centimeters. So I was so grateful that I had spent the majority of that time at home. They wanted to admit me at 7, you know, 7 a.m.
Right.
And so I ended up at 5 centimeters there at about 7 p.m. nothing was progressing, and it was really frustrating to me because at this point it's been like, 30 hours. And so I was like, I think I need an epidural because nothing seems to be working. I was really upset every time they came in and they said, you're still at five centimeters. And so the OBGYN came in, didn't ask me. She broke my water, which I was not happy
She didn't
about.
ask you. That's another topic
Yes.
of conversation.
So she broke my water, which she was asking me, she's like, I think I want to break your water. I was like, well, I'm not really sure. Let me talk to my doula because we literally made every decision together and she just did it.
Oh,
And
gosh.
then like, before we do the, and I was not happy. She's like, before we do the epidural, try the tub. So I went into the tub for like 3 hours and I came back out and they're like, you're at 9 centimeters. It's
Wow.
time. And in my mind, I was like, can I still, like, am I getting the epidural? What's happening? Because I was so exhausted. And I remember like being so freaked out at that point in time because I'm like, I'm so tired. I don't know if I can do this and push this baby out. And I took everything, all the energy I had left, and I broke every blood vessel like in my face, but I birthed the baby and, I think it was like 20 minutes. It was a couple pushes and he was out and it was the natural,
Wow.
birth and delivery that I wanted. And thank God breastfeeding went really well. And I again attribute all of that, everything to the doula being there. And then I came home and that's where like things started to fall apart because I was
Okay.
like, I don't know what I'm doing with this baby. I didn't know I'd be bleeding for weeks on end. I didn't know that my, nipples were going to get cracked and sore and all this stuff. So that was really, really shocking for me. And that's when I was like, this is not right. I ended up going to a breastfeeding support group and thank God, because like the moms there, that was huge for me. And that's why I keep thinking about all these women in isolation during COVID, like doing this without other moms, without lactation, like without that group setting. So that was my first delivery, and I know that was a long-winded story. The second one, they induced me because I was 40 weeks and they thought I was high risk, which I also was not thrilled about. And then I ended up, that was fairly quick. They kept trying to break my water, but I had learned my lesson and I was like, nope, not gonna happen. It was really, I don't know, it ended up being great. It was an 8 hour. By the time my water broke on its own, that's a whole nother funny story I'll have to share at some point, but by the time my water broke on its own, 8 hours later, my son was there. But then, managing with a 3-year-old at home and my son, my newborn, and like it was right around the holidays, all these people were at my house. We ended up going to like a Christmas tree farm, and I was carrying my 3-year-old 1 week postpartum, and I ended up hemorrhaging, and I had to be rushed to the hospital. So
Oh
it's
my
just these like,
goodness.
and I knew better, right? But like, you just feel like you have to be
You have to do it all.
superhuman instead of taking care of yourself, and it's not right.
Yeah, it really, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, I only have one child right now, but I remember that feeling of feeling like you have to get up and do things, and you have to, whether it's like cleaning the house or cooking or taking the trash out or going to the grocery store or entertaining people when they come over. I feel like the societal expectations that we have surrounding the postpartum period really need to shift in order to be more focused on what the mom and the baby need in order to thrive together, but also to remember that, like, even though the baby is here, like, mom still matters too. And it's hard. It's hard in our society because, and I understand that everybody wants to see the baby. Everybody's so excited to see the baby, but mom still matters. Mom brought the baby into the world. She did the work.
Yeah, I think moms matter first, to be honest. I think from what I've seen is if mom isn't taken care of, everything else just doesn't happen. The baby, the partner, the family unit. So I think they matter first, not two.
Oh no, I mean I totally agree. I do think that the mothers need to be supported in general. And like you mentioned with with COVID, and it's something that I've been very concerned about since last year, just in general, the lack of support that there already is for mothers before COVID. And then now that we are living through it right now, it's just because for me, my daughter was, she was about 9 months when all of this started. And I remember being very upset about not being able to see family during these young months before she was even one. And then I've been concerned about people who were pregnant and going to give birth during all of this and the birth trauma that was going to come out of it because of not being able to have doula support in the hospital. In some places, they even weren't allowing the partner. And so I've been very
Oh, it's
concerned.
terrible.
And then also there's the postpartum period, especially during the winter. You know, it's just there's so many layers, there's so many important pieces of this that we need to be having open conversations about and making sure that we find ways in order to support mothers and in order to support families. And I think one thing that you mentioned that I did want to talk about that I forgot the first time you said it, but then you said it again. I really do think that there needs to be more access. There needs to be accessibility to doulas and accessibility to having the support that they deserve, that mothers deserve. And I think that is something that we can start to work on. I think it's something that has already been, conversation has already begun, but it's figuring out how to make that happen here in the United States with our broken healthcare system surrounding birth. So lots that we
There's
can
lots of
fix.
work to be done. It's yeah, it's a really tough thing, and maternity leave is a whole nother, you know, policy issue that needs to change. And yeah, my sister gave birth during COVID and wasn't able to have her doula there, and I see the impacts when she relays her birth story that had. On the silver lining though on that is, which is interesting, I think from what I saw in the research, and I'll have to double check that, like, breastfeeding rates have actually gone up because moms are able to be home with the baby, working from home. Their partners are home to support them. So it's interesting because while there is a lot of negative, there are these little silver linings that are showing, you know, some of those changes that could make a difference when we come back to normal here. Normal, I say, but I don't know what normal looks like anymore.
I think you're right too, and I think there definitely, I did see, I don't know what, if it was an article or a research study about breastfeeding rates going up, and I do think that that's awesome. And like you said, there are certain silver linings that have come along with this that we have, we may not have realized prior. But I did want to hear a bit about how you found pregnancy, excuse me, support during your postpartum period, how you made that happen for yourself. And then in turn, I'm guessing that's where the Flourish Fund came from, was from your own personal experience and then other experiences that people had shared with you.
It was very much, I did a lot of research, and in your like new mom haze and overwhelm, like that should not be required. So, you know, dealing with the recovery period and dealing with pelvic floor challenges, mental health, especially with my second one, I really was, it was just very challenging to think about like going back to work and managing a 3-year-old and managing with the baby. And it was just a lot. And it took a toll on me mentally the second time around. And it was interesting because that support group that I mentioned earlier, that breastfeeding support group, so essential to me. And I talked to like every single mom in that group, and there were about 20 or 30 of us that would get together every Thursday. It was run by a lactation consultant. Everybody had different challenges that they faced in motherhood. And I was like, there has to be a better way. Like, we were all just talking to one another about, oh, I went to this pelvic floor physical therapist, or I went to this mental health counselor. Like, we were just sharing with one another. And I'm sitting there going, this is a breastfeeding support group. What about all the people who are not breastfeeding? And I asked the leaders of the group there, I was like, what happens to all the people that may not come to this group. They're like, well, we're open to all. I was like, yeah, but a woman who's not breastfeeding will not want to come to a breastfeeding support group.
Right.
You know, like, depending on what the situation is, they may not want to sit there and watch everybody breastfeed their children. Like, that may not be, you know, that may not help the situation for them, yeah. You know? And so it was one of those things where I was like, this is not the way it should be. It should not just be word of mouth and having to do tons and tons of research online and see what other countries are doing and figure out how to do that here in the US. So that's where the original platform came from. I had started Mom Unity after my second child, just trying to make one place accessible to moms where they could literally go and just search, I'm having trouble with this, and they find all the resources in their local area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where this all started. And as we grew, we had about 250 providers on that site in the New England area.
Wow.
As we grew that out, we just saw that we still had this challenge of moms prioritizing their own health and wellness. So that even if they wanted to access these things, they wouldn't because they were spending money on, you know, other baby gear or whatever right. It may be. They were prioritizing those things over their own health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is awareness, and part of it is just society, right? So we did some research, and we basically asked moms if they had been able to put these services on their registry, especially after their first baby, would they have done so? And more than 75% of moms said absolutely,
mm-hmm.
and prioritized spending on the services over the stuff,
right?
Which is very eye-opening. And I don't know if that's, you know, a generational change, because you see it in like the weddings and stuff like that too,
mm-hmm.
or if it's really driven by, you know, experience and realizing I really don't need that $1,000 crib.
Right. And I was just checking to make sure she was okay. Yeah, I totally feel the same way. And I remember when I was making my registry for Lula before she was born. And I remember looking at Instagram and like these people had these nurseries all put together and like all of these clothes and all of these things and like the snoo and all of these crazy expensive things. And I was just sitting there like, when did we as a society decide that we needed all of these things, all of these material things when it comes to having a baby? And I remember people being like, oh, why didn't you put this on your registry? Or why didn't you put that on your registry? I'm like, because I don't need it. I was like, we just don't need it. I remember I had, I think, four or five different carriers on there and different for like the different stages. Like I had wraps for when she was a newborn and then different carriers for as she grew. And people were just like, why didn't you put a baby swing on? And it was so interesting to hear. And I remember I didn't really register for a lot of clothes or anything because babies grow so fast and you don't know how big your baby's going to be. And I got so many things that I just did not register for. And it's not to say that I'm not grateful and appreciative and thankful. It's just that if that had been put towards like a doula or put towards like a meal, like a gift card for something like that, it would have been more beneficial for us. And so I am glad that you're opening up a conversation about that because we want to support moms during the times where it's harder for them to use their hands or to go to the store or to do all of the things that we would generally do before having a baby.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is. I remember the same pressure to put tons of stuff on my registry. And it was pressure from like the ads that I was getting nonstop, you know, like society finds out you're pregnant, they're like, oh my God, you need all this junk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of it was useful, but not, I would say 90% of it, I really did not need. And I think that a lot of people fall into your boat, which is just, you don't need all this stuff, but understanding what you actually do need and having the ability to use it. So one of the things about the gift cards on Flourish Fund is they're flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put in, let's say, you know, $100 towards a lactation counselor, right? And you decide, I don't want to breastfeed. You can take those dollars and you can get a postpartum doula. You can use it towards meal delivery. You can, because one constant in motherhood is change. And we wanted to make sure that, like, when you need it, you can get the support that you need. And you're not kind of pigeonholed into, oh, I need to take this educational class. Or, and we have educational classes and everything as well. But, like, it just gives you that flexibility so you can get what it is that you need. Because everybody's different. Like you said, every birth and postpartum journey is totally different.
Absolutely. And I love that. I can't wait to share. I'm going to, for all the listeners who are listening, I'm going to share the link for the Flourish Fund in the show notes so you guys can go check it out. Because it's such an incredible resource. And like you said, there are so many different pieces that you might not think about, that you might not realize that you need. And then say you have your baby and you're sitting and you're looking at the Flourish Fund and all the different things you have to offer. And you're like, oh, I could really benefit from that. I could really use that. I think that, like you mentioned too, before having your children, you're looking at, you really had to dig to find these resources. I remember feeling the same exact way because I have always been more holistic minded and I really wanted to have a natural birth and I wanted to make sure that I was looking at all of the resources, the evidence-based research, all of the books, all of the birth stories. And it's truly difficult to find. And then that's just before the baby's born. And then, like you said, in the postpartum, you went to this group for breastfeeding moms and you were talking about all these other different things about that you might need during the postpartum period and as a new mom, and people who may not go to this group are not going to have access to that. Or if they do, it's not going to be something that they just found easily. So again, we want to make sure that we are putting all of these different resources and things that moms might need into one area. And that's where the Flourish Fund is so amazing. So I applaud you for all of the work that you're doing.
It's the work you do. I mean, honestly, I was talking to you before the podcast about that. The most incredible part of building this has been that community. So, like, bringing together, we had such a like an amazing photo shoot right before things kind of shut down again in September. Mm-hmm. And we had like pelvic floor physical therapists who do Pilates for pregnancy and postpartum. We had doulas, we had sleep consultants, we had, and like the energy was just prenatal amazing. Yoga and stuff. Like we had, it was just so amazing to see this community. And so you guys are doing the work. I'm just trying to make sure that like people are spending in the right way and that like they're getting the support they need and connecting them to the work, the amazing work you and all the other providers in this space do. So it's really incredible. And we're going to make this the norm. Everybody's going to get a doula. Everybody's going to get a Flourish Fund. And then we'll go take it to DC. That's my goal.
Yes. Yes. Let's do it. I mean, teamwork makes the dream work, right?
Totally.
And I think we all come from different walks of life. We all have different areas of expertise or experience that we can work off of. And like you said, I cannot imagine what the energy was like when you guys were all together taking photos and just talking and bouncing ideas off of each other. That must have been amazing. And I think it's just important at the end of the day to remember that building these communities is so important, especially for moms, because I know from personal experience and from the experiences of my friends and family members, there were times where I would ask them questions that like other people might not ask them. So like deep-seated questions about postpartum and how they were doing. And they shared how alone that they felt, even though they had this network. There are so many things that mothers feel shame about talking about or just don't know if other people have experienced certain things, so they're hesitant to share them. And I think, again, just opening up all of these different conversations, not being afraid to talk about your perineum or what a peri bottle is used for, or if you pooped when you were in labor. I think that it can be fun. And there are parts that are going to be really difficult, and there are ways to support each other and to come out of that on the other side and to take things that may be traumatic and to work through them and process through them. And again, what it comes down to is just having that community, having that support, and really just empowering each other and empowering people to, by having resources, to make the decisions that work best for them and their families.
Yeah, I'm like almost in tears over here because that's like exactly what our why, and I'm sure your why as well, which is, you know, just supporting people where they're at, making these normalizing these conversations. Like,
Yes.
we do not brush these things under the rug. And really making moms realize you need to come first. Like, it's not, you don't have a choice. I know the oxygen mask, you know, analogy is, you know,
yes,
is used all the time, but I think it's so accurate. You cannot save the person next to you unless you put your own oxygen mask on first. Like, it's just, it's not possible. So I love this, and building these communities is really what it all is about. So, yes,
that's what it comes down to. And I love that you shared that, because there have been times where I literally remind myself of that, like of that exact metaphor. Like when Lula's having a rough day and she just wants to be all over me, but I like really need to eat or really need to pee, and she just wants to climb all over me. And I feel like you feel guilty. Like if I remember, like I just had to pee and she was super upset that I had to go pee. And I was like, Lula, I have to, like, it's just something that I need to do. I'm sorry that it's upsetting you. And they will understand as they get older, but it's just like, you need to do these things for yourself in order to show up as a mother, to take care of yourself. And then you show up better for everybody else.
Yep. You need to shower. You need like all these basic needs.
Yes.
Don't go away just because the baby's there.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. So I think this has been such an incredible conversation. I'm so thankful for all of the different layers that we discussed and jumped into, but I just wanted to see if there were any last words or final pieces of advice that you wanted to leave with listeners today.
I feel like we covered a lot of it, but I think if we were to like wrap it up, it's what you were saying at the very end, which is if you as a mother are dealing with something, or you're unsure of something, just ask, find the resources. We're here for you. You know, Olivia and I, the Flourish Fund, we're all here for you. Just ask the questions and be open, and then feel confident that you can ask for help. Like, if you're in the postpartum period right now and you really need somebody to do your laundry, tell them to go do your laundry. Like, do not, there are no boundaries here around me. There's a lot of boundaries. We can talk about setting boundaries, but you need to be able to openly, you know, ask for the things that are going to make you confident and recover. And it could just be like somebody cooking you a meal. Just make sure you're asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Do ever feel like you're alone.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think I've seen it multiple times on social media, whether it was on Instagram or Facebook, where someone shared this little post and it was talking about how like a shower is not self-care. Like that's a basic need that you need to do. And it's something that we oftentimes just don't do.
Right.
And this
or going to pee, right?
Yeah.
About.
Just the smallest things can make the biggest difference. Or also like going to the grocery store without the kids is not like a break, you know? Making sure that moms have the time to do things for themselves, that they have someone who can come hold the newborn baby so they take a shower, or hold them while they poop, or hold them while they eat. It's so important. And I'm never going to stop talking about it because it's still an issue here in the United States. So I'm really thankful for you for coming on and talking with everybody and for sharing your own experiences, but also for creating the Flourish Fund and for having that be a resource for mothers, because everybody needs it. We really need it. And mothers are the glue that hold everything together. They really are. And I think that there needs to be, like you said, there needs to be more attention on the mother comes first, even though the baby is here, the mother's needs still need to be taken care of, because if she's going to be taking care of everybody else, you have to let her take care of herself too.
Yep, even more so in motherhood.
Even more so.
I feel like that's the biggest, for me at least, it was the biggest physical and emotional event I had ever faced in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That like afterwards, I'm not going to need to be taken care of. It doesn't make sense.
You
sprain an ankle, or you sprain and you're nursing yourself back to health, but what your body goes through mentally and physically, like there needs to be space for moms to really be able to recover. So I totally agree, and I really appreciate you having me on to talk about all this stuff. And I would really love to have you on, the things we're doing. We're doing all this amazing education, virtual education, I think is here to stay. It's interesting.
Yes.
We have this conversation a lot. Like, are we going to go fully virtual? I think that would be terrible. I do not think that's the answer because I think that human connection is so important in this.
Absolutely.
In this space, but I do think the hybrid model, we've done these virtual panels where we have people from all walks of life, moms, community providers, different lived experiences, all together talking about, what they're passionate, but also they're sharing their stories. And I think that that's something that we're just as Flourish Fund going to continue doing. And I'd love to have you be a part of that as well. So
Oh my
I'm
goodness. I would be
it'll be great.
honored. Oh my gosh, I would love that so much. Yes, please.
All right.
And I do think, like you said, I'm also the type of person I love the in-person connection. So not seeing people and having these conversations in person was super difficult for me at first, but I think that this is better than nothing. And I think
Yep.
that we still need to be talking about these things and educating people. So I do think that it has also kind of been like a blessing in disguise that we do have these things. And when things do start to open up more, then we can still meet in person and have that in-person connection, but then also have the virtual for those who cannot make it. And so I would
Absolutely.
love to be a part of that. Yes, please.
Yes, I'm so excited. This is going to be phenomenal. And I really appreciate I can't believe it's been an hour. It
I
feels like we've been
know.
talking for like 10
I
minutes.
know. It's so funny. Time absolutely flies when you are talking about something that you feel so deeply passionate about. And
Yep.
I've said it a few times, there are just so many different layers. There's so many different pieces that we can touch on and share our own stories and or the stories of other people. And it's wild. And then here we are an hour later, and it's just like we still could talk
We
about
haven't even
so
brushed the surface.
yeah, we still have so many things we could talk about. But yeah, would you mind sharing where people could find you if they wanted to
Oh,
reach
yeah.
out to you? I'm going to include it all in the show notes, but just in case people are listening and they just want to look it up real fast.
Absolutely. So if you're looking to start a registry, and one thing I didn't mention is you can actually purchase these as gifts for folks. So even if they're
Oh.
not registered on there, you can get a Mama on the Mend bundle where she'll get, some postpartum care along with a Harry bottle, which hopefully at that point she knows what that is.
Woohoo!
But so you can find us at theflourishfund.com, or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Flourish Fund. So I'm
Awesome.
looking forward to meeting all the new and expecting mamas, and definitely check us out because monthly we've been doing these amazing virtual panels. We have hundreds of moms that come on, and really, moms get their questions answered in the convenience of their home. They can be nursing the baby. We've gotten all these amazing moms sending us pictures like, I got this educational series while, topless and nursing my child. And like, that's, it's been really amazing. So please jump on to our virtual education that we do. It's totally free. And I look forward to meeting all of you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And I honestly, when I was looking at the Flourish Fund, I didn't realize that you guys had that education portion. And hearing you talk about it has gotten me so excited because there needs to be more education about everything within the pregnancy and birth space. And so you're allowing people, you're essentially giving them a gift of them being able to virtually attend these things and have it be something that they are able to do while being a new mom or before they are a mom, and making sure that they have this evidence-based research to make their own decisions based upon. So that's incredible. So I'm excited to share that with everybody. I'm excited to check it out. Thank you so much, Melissa, for coming on with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy your night and we'll chat soon.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Well, thank you.
Virtual hugs.
Virtual
Bye.
hugs. Well, thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. If you have any questions for myself or if you have any questions for Melissa, please feel free to reach out. Olivia at healthybalancedbirth.com. Go right into my DMs. Whatever makes sense for you. If you feel like this was an episode that you learned a lot from or you benefited from in any way, please share it. Please share it, whether it's on Instagram or in an email or in a text. Share it so everybody can hear it. We hope you have an incredible night, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.